This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Perspective, was delivered on October 11th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
You guys got your coffee? You got your water? You got your fried rice? You got your temperatures checked? Okay. All right there. Let me take a picture. Smile. Okay, I got it. Just in case we need to know where you are sitting. Right? Okay. Whew. All right. So, wow, you can believe it's like the second week of October already. And the way it looks like, yeah, I guess it's not no trick-or-treating for me this year because of the COVID thing. Man, bummers. I'm going to have to find another source for our candy. But before we keep going, we got our famous couple over here, James and Jen, and they're going to share some announcements. Put those bags away. Okay, come on. Oh, where's the mic? You got the mic. Welcome, James and Jen.
Okay, good morning, New Hope. I only have one announcement this morning. Women's ministry via Zoom this coming Saturday at 7:30. If you don't have the link or you don't have the information, you can see me or contact Johnny May if you have our number.
All right. I'm going to bless the tithes and offerings. Well, before that, this month is Pastor Appreciation Month. And our church and the church council wanted to give a gift to our four pastors that we have here. So Pastor Scott is up here. Pastor Dennis, can you come up? Pastor Aaron. And our newest pastor, Frank. Oh, they're all leaving now. All right. All right. Pastor Aaron.
Oh. Over my head and cut eye holes.
No. Yes, and as a church, we're so lucky to have four pastors, and I just want those here and at home to reach out their hands, and I'm going to pray for these four wonderful men that God has blessed us with. All right. Heavenly Father, just like to thank you for blessing us with these leaders, these men in our church, and what they're doing for my life and all our lives, leading us and the way that you want them to lead us. And we just want to pray for their health, their families, and just continue to keep blessing them. And just like to just have the protection around them so they can serve us many more years. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. And we pray this in your Son's mighty loving name, Jesus. Amen. All right, I'm going to do bless of tithes and offerings. Before that, there's our three ways to give. We can give on mobile. You text NHHI to 808-793-5588. You can do it online with online giving, www.newhopeeasthawaii.com, and by mail. Then you can mail the payment, capital NHEH-HCR to Box 6617, Kau, Hawaii. And at least you don't have to stand in line to mail your tithing. I've seen the lines. It's crazy. All right, let us bow our heads and bless the tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we'd just like to thank you for just a beautiful day, for just getting us up with and then blessing us with your love and grace. Father, we ask you to bless our tithes and offerings and help May it help further your kingdom. May the leaders in our church steward it wisely into areas that you want. And again, we just give you all the praise and glory. We thank you so much for everything you bless us with. In your son's mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, James and Jennifer. Woo. It's another beautiful day. Oh, look, Patricia is watching. I thought I seen Kahea. Where's your mom? She's watching online. If you guys can watch on Facebook, that would be really, really good. Just to avoid the crowds. But if you cannot, you know, you're welcome to come and join us over here in person. But it's so good that we are still able to meet in some way, shape, or form. Good morning, Aurelia. Aurelia is Pastor Frank's daughter. Good morning to you. Good morning, Patricia. Your daughter is here, and I don't know why you're not, but that's okay. We still love you. Right. Oh, it's the October month. And you know what the good thing about it is? It's starting to get a little bit cooler again. But yesterday afternoon was still smoking hot. It was like frying. And it's like in the nighttime hours, at least it's a little bit cooler and it's more bearable. Right. Look, I'm up here with my phone because I'm just checking out who's online and who's watching so I can tell them aloha. But hey, it's October. It's October. COVID is still here. By this time, most of us have known someone who's had it. Anybody know someone who's had it? Who's had COVID-19? Anybody know somebody who died from it? Yeah, so it's kind of hitting kind of close to home. Maybe you've been in contact with somebody who's tested positive. The restrictions of limited gathering is weighing heavy on a lot of us, especially the ones that when you couldn't go to the beach. That was like, you live in Hawaii and the beach is closed. You're like, are you kidding me? Really? And it's been a tough season for a lot of us, and there's additional levels of stress, and especially for people who don't know the God that we serve, the stress is even greater. So if you have your Bibles this morning, would you open it up to the Luke 10:37? And I believe now more than ever, this world that we live in needs Jesus. And for us, for you and I, it is as simple as pointing our friends and our loved ones to come and join us, either through our website, through our Facebook page. And if you can do that, then, you know, we can share Jesus with them. And the thing is, as we head into the holidays, you know, we're going October and then November, and right then it's like the speed of light, yeah? And the stress level of the holidays will increase along with the COVID-19 still around. And for you and I, we need to kind of ask God, give us eyes to see as you see, because we're going to have family and friends and neighbors who might be so stressed out, but they might not show it. You know how you talk to your friends and how you doing, and the first thing is, oh, I'm okay, it's okay. But deep inside, it might not be okay. And so we need to be aware of the condition of those around us. You know, our spouse, our children, our relatives, co-workers, neighbors, so that we can reach out to them and point them in the right direction. Amen? In Luke 10, starting in verse 30, if you're there, if you have your Bibles, it says, Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down the road. So, you know, priest like a pastor. How many of you pastors have been called priest before? Somebody called me father once, and wasn't my kids. And I was like, whoa. So the priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he went across the road the other side, and he went past him. That's the pigeon version, okay? When he saw him, he passed by on the side of the road. It's like, I'm going down the road, I see you broken your hood up, steam coming out, I change lane to the other side, and I go past you. Oh, that's that, no more you come in this church, you see me do that, right? Unless I didn't recognize you. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place, saw him pass by on the other side. Levite, that's the guys who set up the church. Yeah? Oh, that's kind of getting disgusted already. Yeah? But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus said to him, go and do the same. He's telling us, go and do the same. Don't sit down and wait for somebody to come to you. He's saying, go. And you know, Jesus always tells us to go, yeah? Go and make disciples of all nations. You know, and here he's telling us, go and be the neighbor. He doesn't tell us to sit still idly and do nothing. He tells us to always go. Confronting the needs of others, you know, brings out different attitudes in us. And Jesus used this story of the good but despised Samaritan to make clear what attitude was acceptable to him. And, you know, if we can look in the mirror, be honest with ourselves, we often find ourselves in the place of the expert in religious law, needing to learn again who our neighbor is. And you look at these different attitudes towards the wounded man, the perspective about others' needs. Number one, to the robbers, this man was someone to use and exploit. In Proverbs 1, 10 and 11, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come, or pleasure makes us feel like the crowd. But when we go along with others and refuse to listen to the truth, our own appetites become our masters, and we'll do most anything to satisfy them. Sin, even when attractive, is deadly. And we must learn to make choices, not on the basis of flashy appeal or short-range pleasures. We must make our choices based in view of the long-term effects. You know, the price of sin is always higher on the back end. Sometimes this means we need to steer clear of people who want to tempt us into activities which we know are wrong. You know, we cannot be friendly with sin and expect our lives to remain unaffected. Okay? We cannot. So to the robbers, this guy was just somebody to exploit and to get something out of. To the priests and the Levite, the wounded man was a problem or subject to be avoided. Right? They did not go and address his needs. They avoided him. They went out of their way to avoid him. Matthew 23:3. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. So the Pharisees, who they were Jesus was talking about, their traditions, their interpretations, their applications of the law had become as important to them as God's laws. The laws that they made up were not all bad. Some were beneficial. The problem arose when these religious leaders held that the man-made rules was just as important and equal to God's laws. They told people to obey these rules, but they did not obey them themselves. It's like the dad who smokes cigarettes and tell your kids not to smoke cigarettes. Huh? You did that before? Or the dad who is getting drunk and tell his kids not to get drunk. They told the people to obey the rules, but they didn't themselves. When these religious leaders did obey these rules, they did so not to honor God, but they did so to make themselves look good. And usually Jesus did not condemn what the Pharisees taught, but that they were hypocrites. They said, do this, but they didn't do it themselves. In Luke 18:36, now hearing a crowd go by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. What was happening here? There was this blind man sitting on the side of the road. He heard that Jesus was walking by, and he desperately wanted to be healed and be crying out to Jesus. And back in this time, the beggars would wait. They would wait along the busiest roads because that's where they could contact the most people and ask for help. And usually disabled in some way, beggars were unable to earn a living. Medical help was not available for their problems, and people tended to ignore their obligation to care for the needy. Thus, beggars, like this blind guy, had little hope of escaping his degrading way of life. But get this, blind beggar took hope in the Messiah. He shamelessly cried out for Jesus' attention. I mean, okay, if you were blind, you knew Jesus would come, could heal you. You knew that he was coming by. And Pastor Scott said, quiet, stop it. Would you listen to me? Probably not. I would be yelling, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he cried out for Jesus' attention. And Jesus said that his faith allowed him to see. See, the people, those leaders who led the way were telling this blind man, shh, none of this, quiet. Now, if the roles were reversed, what then? Didn't Jesus come to help people like this blind man, But these leaders looked at this blind man like a nuisance. Matthew 19:13. Then some of the children were brought to him so that he might lay hands on him and pray. And this is his disciples, his inner circle, rebuked him. But Jesus said, let the little children alone. Do not hinder them from coming to me. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Now what if that was your child wanting to go see Jesus and I said, no, stop it. Leave him alone. He's too busy. you call your husband and come knock me out. That's what would happen. You know? So these leaders was like treating this wounded man, it's like a nuisance. Like, you know, I don't have time. To the innkeeper, number three, the wounded man was a customer to serve for a free. You might think if he owned an inn, he might have had a spare room. You know, maybe his occupancy wasn't at 100%. Could have spared one room. Proverbs 19:17, one who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. Wow. Matthew 25:34, Jesus said this, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Now we should treat all persons we encounter as if they were Jesus. And that's no easy task, because some people we come across are just mean and nasty. What we do for others demonstrates what we really think about Jesus and his words. Feed the hungry. Give a homeless a place to stay. Look after the sick. Do your actions separate you from the pretenders and the unbelievers? In Matthew, continuing on Matthew 25:40, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Number four, to the Samaritan, the wounded man was a human being worth being cared for and loved. Now, the Bible always talks about Jesus. Jesus tells us that the Samaritans were despised. They were not liked by the Jews because they were a mixed breed, half Jewish, half pagan. So that's why they were kind of not liked by the Jewish people. In Luke 10:27, and he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. This is the second time we hear of a Samaritan doing something good. Remember the story of the 10 lepers who were healed? Only one came back. That was on our trivia question, yeah? How much was that one? How much percent was that one? Math teachers? 10%. And that one person was a Samaritan. Who figured, even if they were despised, some of them had great hearts. Yeah? One came back to thank God. Yeah? The Samaritan had a heart like Jesus. He saw this wounded man as a living, breathing human worth saving, even if it cost him time and money. Wouldn't you think that would have been the priest and the Levite's role, yeah? To take care of this wounded man, because that's what we should be doing. But it took a Samaritan to show us the way. He didn't look at this person as an interruption or an inconvenience. You know, pastors, when your phone rings at 11 o'clock at night, do you think it's an interruption? Or do you think, wow, I get to go serve somebody? Yeah. Number five, to Jesus. All of them and us were worth dying for. John 3:16. Man, you guys gotta read this with me. And no, look at your notes. Because you guys remember, right? Close your eyes. Ready? Go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. To Jesus, all of them and all of us was worth dying for. So here's the question. Which one of these five will you be to your neighbor in need? Okay, the reason why is this message is now because I want to gear you up now in October before we get to November. We got to train now, so by the time November comes around, we already train. Because if you're going to start training in November, we're too late, right? It's like the game started and we're trying for practice. Which one of these will you be to your neighbor in need? The people you help. They may not necessarily be beaten and half dead on the side of the road, but they may be hurting. They may be in need. They may have lost their job. They may be quarantined because they're high risk. They may be the perfect family putting on a facade because they're too prideful for us to ask for help. Will you exploit the needy? Will you look to make a profit off of them? Will you gossip and talk about them? Will you extend a helping hand? Or will you love them like Jesus? Isaiah 40, 31. And we get to point people to these things. Yeah, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. And that might be some of your neighbors and friends. They need to look to the Lord. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. You know, we get to share with our family and our friends what trusting the Lord is. It's patient expectation that God will fulfill his promises in his word and strengthen us to rise above the difficulties that we are facing now. Do you believe that God wants the best for you, for your neighbors, for your co-workers, for your friends? Can you relax, confident that God's purposes are right? Are you convinced that God has the power to control all of life? Because God is in control. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we, looking at this story, get to be the ones to call our neighbors to say, hey, Jesus is telling you to come to him for rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You and I know Jesus frees people from all these burdens. And we cannot remain silent. Like I said in the beginning, you know, we need to go. Go and do the same as Jesus did. Jesus can free people from their burdens. Jesus can give people rest. Jesus promises love and healing and peace with God. And we get to point people in the direction of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, we are coming up upon the busiest, most stressful times of year, the time of the year. And it might be even more stressful now, especially for the shopaholics, because they might not be able to go shopping. You know, when the beach was closed, at least we still could go fishing. That was our release. But if you cannot go shopping and that's your release, oh, stress. I mean, shopping is not the same on Amazon as it is going in the store. It's like watching videos of Disneyland thinking like, oh yeah, he's not being there. But we are coming upon this season People be lonely. People be stressful. Think about it. Who do you know in your circle of friends that you could be the Good Samaritan to? Or you're going to see your coworker, somebody in need. Are you going to cross to the other side of the hallway and pass them? Are you going to, you know, you're going to see them coming to you and cut into the bathroom? Or driving down the, going in the supermarket, you see them coming your way, turn around, go down the other aisle? Or are you going to go and be the Good Samaritan to them? Or even be Jesus to them? Or even stop them and pray for them in the store? You did that before? It's pretty cool, you know, stopping and praying in the middle of the aisle in a supermarket and everybody's looking at you. Yeah. If God tells you to do it, then what are you going to do? Yeah. So think about it. Look at this story and which one are you going to be? The priest? The Levite? The robbers? I hope not. They're not going to send you to a different church. Or maybe you're in the right church because hopefully we get to change. God gets to change it through us. Or are you going to be the despised but good Samaritan? I hope you will be the Samaritan. Amen. You may put on your notes, close your Bibles, let's bow your heads, ask the worship team to come, and we're looking at a finish on time, kept my promise. Those of you who are there, hey, Denise is watching. Nani is watching. Kari is watching. Good morning, you all. Hey, let's bow our heads in prayer. If there are people here or out there or anywhere this broadcast may reach, and you never had the opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. All of you who can hear, whether you're at home or you're here, pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer, would you hold up a hand? Anybody here? Would you pray? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Thank you so much. Those of you out there, if you prayed that prayer, send me a note so I can pray for you. Message me, email me, text me. 808-936-6651. Send me a message, something. If you need help with prayer or whatever, just let me know so that I can be the Samaritan to you and offer help. But we thank you so much, Lord, for all that you have done for us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us find a cure for this COVID. We pray that we would open up travel so our businesses can open up. And we pray that the COVID-19 virus would slow to spread, that we would use caution and wisdom as we go out and as we gather. But Lord, we thank you so much that we still get to get your word out to those who need it. Help us to be this Good Samaritan to our neighbors. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand? And we are going to sing and shout with all of our voices.
God. You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea'au, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.